Grace and peace from God our Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Last Wednesday, I held the chapel for the ECE children. This empty area here was full, both sides, and two pews over there and a pew over here. You know that we have over 100 children in our Christian school. 100 children. Well, you can imagine when they all get together in one bunch. They get kind of, not rowdy, but a little overwhelmed because they get to sit real close together. They have things to talk about. Then walks in the director and, boy, everything gets silent. We always begin with a couple of children's songs, happy songs, where they get up and jump around and clap their hands and, oh, beautiful. I haven't been keeping up with them before. I always know all the old ones, you know. But some of these new ones are too peppy for me, and nowadays I can't even jump. But you can just see the faces on them. They're so happy. I wonder if they realize what they're saying. I think they do. I think they do. Because, you know, Jesus said, "Let the children come unto me, for of theirs is the kingdom of God." So after the singing, again, they go back to start talking. The teachers reach over there because it's my turn now. But I've been preparing. Because you have to get their attention. You don't want to talk to a bunch of people who are not listening. But sometimes I wonder if here in church, some people are not listening, but they're talking to each other, or they're looking around, or they find an excuse to look around and say, "Hey, you know, she's never been to church, or what are they doing here, this and that." And they miss the message. They miss what God wants to tell them. Because when we get home, maybe you can test them. "What was the pastor talking about?" They look at each other. Oh, I remember this. I remember the children's sermon. Is our memory just for the children? It's for all people. "He that is of God heareth God's word." This is your time to hear His word. I have chosen the first letter of Peter to the people in Rome. That's where he was at. Maybe that's why the Catholic Church calls him the first pope. Our first pope is Peter. And Peter knows how Christians at his time were suffering. They were being persecuted all the way from Jerusalem. But you know, that's what God said. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." I wonder if this was God's way on getting people out so His word would be preached to other people, not only in Jerusalem. Because He said, "Jerusalem, Samaria, and all the world." And then He said, "Baptize in them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And last Sunday, we were fortunate to have a baptism. Now, some of us were so young, we don't remember. And some of us were adults, and we remember. And we brought our own children to be baptized because that's what God commanded. The benefits of baptism are you belong to the children of God. That's something to be proud of. You know, here in the United States, we're proud to be American. We lift up our flag, we do this. Well, are you proud to be a child of God? And you say, yes. Have you shown it? I mean, not to get on a soapbox and say, "Hey, everybody, I'm a Christian. Come over here. I have something to tell you." No. In your actions, in your speech, in your attendance to Bible study. Whenever our group gets together to study the Word of God, you're there. Or maybe you lead one of the classes. Our children. I see Mr. Dietrich down there. He used to tell me that the Sunday school used to fill up the place back here in his old church for Bible study. They had about this money, this many for Bible study. Remember when they used to carry in the banner, the class of the, month of the week that had perfect attendance? They were proud. And today, Sunday school has gone down, down, down. Bible study has gone down, down, down. Is it the sign of the times that are coming? And if we look at our newspaper, if we see TV, we see that times are coming. Earthquakes, famine, wars, even in our own city here. Killings with no reason at all. Neglect. Churches are being empty. They're closing their doors. Why? Their love for Jesus Christ has gone out. Well, we have people today who are still faithful. People who still talk for their Lord and Savior. In their actions, in their speech, as you have done this morning. Your neighbor might have seen you get in the car and they know where you're going. And sometimes your neighbor will come over and says, you know, I'm having trouble with my husband or my children are sick. Would you pray for me? See, you have set an example in the neighborhood just by coming to church. And you have invited them. And some of them say, well, we'll think about it. Well, you know, sometimes I wonder if somebody would walk in, nobody knows them, who would welcome them? Who would have joy in their hearts to say, hey, I'm glad to see you. Come over here and say, let me introduce you. Let me, you know. And that's why people, the restaurants do that. They give you lots of treatments, lots of good treatments. They come to you and they wait on you. They come by again, ask you any more help, any of this. You know, how often do we step out of our safety zone to go into a zone that we are unfamiliar with? Sometimes, it has happened many times, that new members, I'm talking about those newly persons that sat at the feet of the pastor, and they went through the catechism, they went through the Bible, and they found out that Jesus loves them. That Jesus gave his life for them. That Jesus cares for them and will be with them forever and ever. That they get so excited, full of joy, just like in Jerusalem on Pentecost. Some of these people went out and told their neighbors. Some of them sold their property so they could help those that were poor. And then they got persecuted, so they went further out. And on the way out, they told people along the road the story about Jesus, the Savior, the story that God had sent his only Son. And this was being told to Gentiles. Before that, the Jews always kept together. But now Jesus says, go out and tell the whole world that I have come to save them. And that's what happens. And that's what happens to sometimes the newly confirmed, that they get excited, they want to do something. Something for Jesus. They bring their friends, their neighbors, and yet how are they treated here? Well, here comes somebody we don't know. Give them the cold shoulder. You know, we got our little groups that go here and there, and that person is there by itself. And they say to you, hey, your church is cold. Nobody greeted me. Well, here, Let's see what St. Peter writes. Would you please put the text? There you are. Thank you. Who is there to harm you if you're zealous to do what is good? You know, with so much persecution going in Rome and the Roman Empire, Peter writes to those people. He says, do good. And it's true. If you do good, how can anybody think of harming you? Jesus did good, and he was condemned to death. And I believe, like I was saying before, the Word of God is good for all seasons. The Word of God is for us today. I have before me people that have done good, people that are still doing good. Let's just use the word persecution. Sometimes in our own family, they're against us. You're going to church again? How much are you offering? What are you getting from that? You believe that? This was written by people long and ages ago. It doesn't stand up today. I wonder if we call that persecution. A little girl, well, no, she was not little. She was getting to start to work. She worked for the first year, and her parents questioned her faithfulness to church, for her goods, for her talent. And she heard that every Sunday morning. She was the only member of her family that was faithful to church on Sunday morning. Well, I look back now. The whole family belongs to the church now. They're scattered all over. Some of them are teachers. Some of them are nurses and so forth. You know, the Lord has blessed that family because of this one, I think because of this one girl who brought them. And the Lord will bless you. Even here, it says here, the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. How many in school have friends? A big test comes up, and you're busy writing in the answers, and your friend over here, your good friend, looks over and says, hey, let me have your paper. I didn't study for this test. I'm going to fail. Come on. And you think, is it honest? Is it good? Is this what God wants me to do? I wonder if we call that persecution. Because that friend of yours says, if you don't give me your paper, I'll never talk to you again. So there you are. You have to make a choice. Or today, drugs are very popular in school, popular with young set group. And they invite you. Here, we're all doing it. We're all having a good time. Here, have a smoke. Come on. Try it just once. It makes you feel good. And you're the only one. Your friends, come on, they're all pushing you there. Should I do it? If I don't do it, we have to make a choice. I'm a child of God, or I'm a child of the world. I wonder if that's persecution today. Well, we have the word whistleblower. You see something wrong, and it bothers you. And finally, you have to tell the truth. Hey, my boss or my company is doing this. It's all wrong. And they start investigating. Who told y'all? That guy, he told us. And you lose your job. Because you're doing what is right. Because you're a child of God. Your conscience bothers you because of the commandments. It says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You've learned that. You have to make a choice. And thanks for the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That we are children of God. The baptism that took place last Sunday. The baptism that took place. Let's look at our text. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Are you ready to stand up for Jesus and tell them, this is why I do this. This is why I speak this way. This is why I push you away. Oh, there's a word that said gentle. Please go to the next one. Let's see. There you are. But yet do it with gentleness and respecting and having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revive your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Don't get angry. I told you so. I'm doing the right thing. No, with gentleness, kindness, and always remember. You are a child of God. You reflect what you have learned. You reflect that you have the Spirit in you to speak up for Him. We grow in Christ. We are children of God. And if you fail, remember the prodigal son? Hey, I'm tired of being here. Dad, give me my money. I'm taking off. I'm going to have a good hot fun. He went on. And everything that he was doing was sinful. It hurt him over and over until he was feeding the pigs. And the Bible says he woke up. Hey, what am I doing here? In my father's house, I had everything. And here, I'm feeding pigs. I have really gone down, down, down. The only thing to do is to go back home and ask for forgiveness. And that's for you and me. Yes, we have sinned. And today, we come to the table and receive his body and blood to be reminded that he died on the cross, that your sins are forgiven. What a father. A father who loves you, let's have a party. I love parties. And there'll be a big party. Well, what does it say about angels? When a sinner gives up being a sinner and becomes a child of God, the angels in heaven celebrate. And I think those that are in heaven celebrate too. Because those children. Yes, we have in our family people who don't want the church, who don't want to do what God commands. They prefer what the world gives. But have you prayed for them? Have you prayed that God will change them and God is able to do all things? God is able to do all things. Let's go on. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is should be God's will, than for doing evil. Instead, you know, Christianity isn't easy. Like I said, we're being persecuted day and night, day and night. Satan does not rest. He knows that the day is coming when he'll be put back in the place where he'll be there forever and ever. So he's trying and grabbing as many as he can. Don't believe this like he talked to Eve. God didn't say that. He changes words around. Come on, just a little bit. Taste it. It won't bother you. But yes, we're children of God. He has given us commandments that will help us to live a life that is pleasing to the world, a life that will give us new life. And yet, he will take us all in his arms. Come, In my Father's home, there are many mansions. There are many rooms. I go to prepare a room for you. I go to prepare a room for you. You know, here, let's go on to the other. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous death for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Now here comes one that I was surprised. Give me the other section. Thank you. There we are. In which he went and proclaimed the spirit to the spirits in prison, because formerly they did not obey God's patience. God did not obey God. Well, the other part talks about Noah. We heard when the child was baptized that Noah and his family were saved. The flood came, but didn't. But the flood, the same water that they use, is used for our baptism. Our baptism saves us and calls us God's children. The water and the blood. The water and the word. Today we receive his body and blood. Your sins are forgiven. What a joy to come and hear the word of God when he says that. Your sins are forgiven. It will not be easy. And it's not easy, the world that we live today. I had a funeral this past week, and the lady died of cancer. We have our bodies who wither away, our bodies who can't breathe anymore, our heart stops, and that's the end of our life here on earth. But we go to join him in heaven. Those that believe in Jesus Christ have salvation because they are children of God. So hold on. Hold on. Don't give up. I have here my closing. Those who declare me publicly, they belong to me. I will do the same for them before my Father in heaven. But those who reject me publicly, I'll reject them before my Father in heaven. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, life here on earth is very hard, but it's because of sin. And every day we wrestle against sin, but yet we always fall. But you always have your hand out there. You pick us up and say, your sins are forgiven. You are mine. May those thoughts always be in our minds, that we confess you publicly. We're not ashamed of being called children of God. In his name we pray. Amen.